Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Today is September 24th, 2020, and we resume our series of satsangs on Sandeha Nivarini. We are resuming this Thursday live programs after a short break, and we pray to Swami that now, once He has willed for this to restart, we continue in this journey of immersing ourselves in the profundity of His message and learn to purify ourselves so that we can feel Him every moment of our lives. So we were discussing chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. In fact, for many weeks now, we have been in chapter 7. And it is so because Bhagwan has laid down so many tips for devotees to practice in their daily life. He has condensed His teachings into very salient points. And very clearly in the beginning of this chapter, Swami says, pay attention to all these instructions, all these tenets that I have written. And that is the reason why we have gone very slow and taken one point in every session of Vahini Satsang in the last few weeks. Today we are in the 43rd point of chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. Like in every episode of this program, let's listen to what Bhagwan has given us. We will listen to segment 7.5 of Sandeha Nivarini. As I mentioned before, we have broken this chapter into little segments for our ease of understanding and for us to take in small dosages the message that Bhagwan has given. So we'll listen to chapter 7.5 and then we will pray to Him to guide our thoughts.
The Lord is understood only by the Bhakta. The Bhakta is understood only by the Lord. Others cannot understand them. So, do not get into argumentation about divinity with those who do not have devotion. Such discussions will only weaken your devotion. 43. If anyone speaks to you with wrong understanding of any subject, do not think of other wrong notions which will support that stand. However, grasp the good and pleasant feelings in them, which is its true meaning. Do not get into wrong and varied meanings which will lead to meaninglessness and ruin your ananda. 44. Cultivate one-pointedness. Do not scatter your vision to the four corners and on everything, be it a market or a crowd, but see only the road in front of you and move forward. Ensure that you take care of your body and avoid accidents. One-pointedness will become stronger if one moves about without taking one's attention off the road, avoiding dangers and having your vision not distracted with other objects. 45. Give up all doubts regarding the Guru and God. If your worldly desires do not get fulfilled, do not blame it on your devotion. There is no relationship between such desires and devotion to God. These worldly desires have to be given up some day or the other. Bhakti has to be necessarily acquired. Develop this strong conviction. 46. If you are unable to fix your mind on the sadhana of dhyana or japa, or if the desires you have entertained do not come to fruition, do not get frustrated with God. It will dispirit you even more, and you will lose the peace, however small or big, that you might have earned. When you do dhyana and japa, you should not be filled with feelings of frustration, dispiritedness and dejection. When such feelings come, take it that it is the fault of your own sadhana and endeavor to do them correctly. It is only when in your daily conduct and in all actions you automatically behave and act in this manner and along these lines that you can attain the divine principle very easily. Therefore, hold on to these maxims firmly. Chew and relish these spoken sweets distributed on the birthday festival of your Swami and be happy. Have you understood?
Your words are like nectar, Swami. In all these ordinary dealings of life, man does not know the road. He follows the wrong track and does not read the books which tell him the means of a happy journey. For all such people who are struggling like me, what you have said are pertinent points to reflect. We are indeed blessed. Bless me that these words get imprinted on my heart and are realized in practice every day. There is no good in simply listening or reading them. It is only when your grace accompanies them that we get strength. I shall take leave, Swami.
All right. Go and come for the birthday festival. There are just 7 days more, isn't it? Today is the 16th. The birthday is on November 23rd. So there are 7 days left. Till that time, let this sweetness fill and overflow your heart.
So that is segment 7.5 of Sandeha Nivarini. And today we will take up point number 43 as mentioned before. And here Bhagwan is saying, if anyone speaks to you with wrong understanding of any subject, do not think of other wrong notions which will support that stand. However, grasp the good and pleasant feelings in them, which is its true meaning. Do not get into wrong and varied meanings which lead to meaninglessness and ruin your ananda. So Swami is saying, if someone is telling you something and if you think that their understanding of that subject is poor, do not get carried away. Use your discrimination. Do not be swayed by the wrong rationale and wrong arguments that are put on a subject. You don't change your convictions and start thinking in their way. For example, to some youngster who has doubts about existence of God and is very skeptical about spirituality, someone will tell him, you know what, seeing is believing. How can you believe in something that you cannot see? Where is God? People say, God, God, where is God? Can you see? Where is heaven? Where is hell? What is all this? How can you, an educated person, believe in all this? Swami says, if you don't apply your mind, then it is sometimes probable that youngsters will get carried away. The argument that they give is seeing is believing. The Milky Way, Swami says, according to scientists, has billions of clusters of stars. But we all believe in the Milky Way, isn't it? How many stars have we actually seen? And how many people have actually seen any of them? Yet, so many believe. Anyone who believes in this fact, has he seen any of those stars? So one has to apply their mind. Seeing is not believing, experience is believing, Bhagavan says. If you have experienced God after arduous processes of denials and assertions, and so many take the word of these people as truth. The seers of God proclaim what they have visualized. And when people put their faith in it, they experience, but other people condemn them as blind faith, as if the belief of people in the number of star clusters in the Milky Way, as proclaimed by those who have not seen them, is not blind. You call this as blind faith. Is that also not blind faith? Because you also have not seen them. You are believing someone who is telling you something. So Bhagavan is saying, when someone speaks to you with the wrong ideas on any subject, you don't get carried away. And you don't start subscribing to their point of view and think of arguments that will support their stand. But at the same time, Swami is so kind. Swami is telling, however you see what is good in that, if there's anything good in that, then that is the only thing that is worth taking. That is the only true meaning in that. That's what Bhagavan is telling. Look for the good even in places, even in words, even in acts which are foolish. Grasp the good and pleasant feelings in them. That is its true meaning, Swami says. And I think this is something that Bhagavan had reiterated in an earlier point also, that Bhagavan constantly says that don't point your finger at someone. There are three fingers pointing at you. Try to rectify your own mistakes. Don't constantly keep seeing the faults of others. When you see the faults of others, which are like pumpkin, think of them as little seeds, banyan seeds. And when you see your own fault, think of it as a pumpkin, even if your mistake is like a banyan seed. That is what Bhagavan always guides us. And here Bhagavan is telling, grasp the good and pleasant feelings. Even in those arguments, if there is anything worth taking, it is the pleasant things in them. In fact, when I was reading this, where Bhagavan is urging us to see the good and the pleasant, even in things which seem contrary to goodness, I was really reminded of Mr. Victor Kanu. In 2001, when an African devotee earnestly prayed in the interview room asking Swami to come to Africa, Bhagavan's face brightened up with a beautiful smile, and then came the revelation from the divine lips. Bhagavan said, I am already in Africa. I am working through Victor Kanu. These were Bhagavan's words. I am working through Victor Kanu. Victor Kanu became that conduit for his work, his mission, his love. Many years ago, when the book Satya Sai Baba, God incarnate, authored by Sri Victor Kanu, was first released. Bhagwan saw in the mandir a boy reading that book, sitting in the portico, and Swami asked him, "What is in your hand?" And the boy lifted the book and he showed it to Swami. Swami took one look at it and instantly said, "Good man, good book." He was someone who was certified by the divine as a good man. Someone whom Bhagwan said that I work through him publicly. Someone who could see good in everything. Many of us know about how through him Bhagwan brought about beautiful miracles of love. The most astounding of them is the story of the Satya Sai Miracle School of Zambia, where Swami worked through Victor Kanu and created beacons of character and goodness out of students who were earlier absolute economic and social rejects of society. As someone said, Victor admitted the zeros and transformed them into all-round heroes. Have you ever experienced total joy that made your heart want to jump off your chest? Ripples of bliss arising and raising you beyond the limits of human possibilities. An African devotee said, "This was the joy we experienced as we watched the pupils of the school unfold the divine within, like fragrant flowers in the garden of Sai. Victor loved the children with the same passion with which he loved the Lord." He was the ambassador of God who erased the gap we create between the human and the divine. On September 3rd, 2011, when this valiant messenger of the Lord decided to bid adieu to his earthly sojourn, it instantly arrested the minds of thousands of brothers and sisters of the Sai family, not only from Africa, but all over the world. As someone said, the mighty oak of education and human values of the Sri Satya Sai organization has fallen. Africa lost a great Sai son. The reason I am talking about Mr. Victor Kanu today is, when Bhagwan says in Sandhya Nivarani, try to see the good, try to see the pleasant, even where you find it difficult to see these virtues, I feel Victor Kanu showed us the way. And interestingly, it was in this month of September, 9 years ago, that Victor merged in Bhagwan. During the early morning hours of September 3rd, 2011, in the hearts of everyone who knew Victor, his passing away created a crater that can never, ever be filled. In fact, he was in Sierra Leone. This time he was there to supervise the construction and inauguration of a Sai center in his place of birth. That was the last thing that Mr. Victor Kanu was engaged in, as Bhagwan called him back to his lotus feet. In fact, as you read the life of Victor Kanu, as you read the life of the birth, read the story of the birth of the school, the lessons that every twist and turn of the story give you, are really great moments of inspiration for those who want to walk on this path of goodness. During Guru Purnima in July 1989, when Mr. Victor Kanu and his wife were with Bhagwan in the interview room in Prashanthi Nilayam, Victor Kanu told Bhagwan, "Swami, we have been teaching education and human values program in London for a long time. What should we do now?" Victor was in London. And Swami said, "Leave London and go to Zambia. Sell your house and all that you have. If the funds are not enough, borrow from the bank. But build a school in Zambia and spread my message of love through education." This is what Bhagwan directed Victor Kanu and his wife Genevieve to do. And both Victor Kanu and Genevieve were not born and had never lived in Zambia. They were born in Sierra Leone and they had lived in South Africa. Their first visit to Zambia was in 1988, the previous year, and that was to conduct an human values workshop for the teachers at Northern Technical College at Ndola in Zambia. And they had just stayed for a few days. But here, Bhagwan was now telling them to shift to Zambia, to go settle down there and spread the message of Sai. And though both of them had settled down very well in London and they knew that place so well after having lived there for many years, they had all their friends there. London had become their home. But when Swami says, "Go to Zambia," Victor Kanu beautifully recalls in an interview what went through in his mind. He says, "I remember the story of the rich young man narrated in the Bible. In the Bible, it is said, 'Now behold, one came and said to Jesus, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said to this man, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God.'" Jesus said, "Only God is good. But if you want to enter into life, into eternal life, keep the commandments." And so this man said, "Which commandments?" And then Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery." And the young man said, "All these things I have kept from my youth. I don't engage in all this. What do I still lack?" And then Jesus tells to this man, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." And when the young man heard Jesus say this, he just returned. He went away very sorrowful. So Victor Kanu says that when Bhagwan told him, "Sell everything in London and go to Zambia," this is the story that came to his mind. How this person who went to Jesus and said, "Tell me the path to eternal life," but when Jesus said, "Go give away everything and follow me," he just could not take that leap of faith. But Victor did not want to be like this young man. He wanted to obey his God, his Satya Sai, because he had that 100% conviction in Bhagwan. For him, Bhagwan was always perfection personified. Firm faith that he is God incarnate. And it's because of that faith that he had this intense love for Bhagwan. and this absolute confidence and trust in His words. And in fact, with that spirit, He was doing a lot of work in Education Human Values program. And now, when Bhagwan says, go to Zambia, Victor was ready. Meanwhile, the Inner London Education Authority had launched an early retirement scheme with a golden handshake for teachers who had reached the age of 50 and above. So Victor thought that they were anyway eminently qualified, so they applied and they began making elaborate plans. And they had anticipated that they would get this money from the Inner London Education Authority after they put in their papers. And they thought they could use this money to finance the school. But for some strange reason, their request was not accepted. But Victor was not disheartened. Just as Bhagwan had told, he sold all his assets in London, his large house at Hillview, 3 Mercedes-Benz cars, his insurance policies, pots, curtains, pants, clothes, everything. He withdrew all their savings. He borrowed from the bank and he packed everything into 4 containers and shipped them to Zambia. They were going by sea. And his friends in the UK doubted the wisdom of Victor and his wife leaving London and going to some unfamiliar place. Man, who in his right mind would leave London and all the comforts and go to an unknown place with no friends, no facilities, no clue of what they are going to do, how they are going to do. Everyone told, don't do this. Why are you doing it? It's a very big risk. But Victor, as I mentioned before, did not want to be like that young man of the Bible. While all this was going on, he got an offer from Zambia to take over a school by name St. Christopher School. And Victor thought that would be a good start. It would make his life easier to start introducing the Human Values program there. And so he accepted the offer and he signed a 5-year management contract with the proprietor. And in November, he came to Puttaparthi to attend Bhagwan's birthday celebrations. And when he was in Parthi, he received a telegram from the chairman of the Indola Sai Center in Africa, in Zambia, advising him not to go to Indola. And Victor looked at this also as only a test. He said, okay, even if you don't want me to come, I will come. I will stay in a hotel if I have no accommodation, but I will go and do my Lord's work. Anyway, his luggage was already at sea. And when he reached Zambia, the other shock that came was the proprietor of the school, who had signed a 5-year management contract with him, cancelled the contract. And now Victor did not know what to do. He has sold everything in London. His luggage is being shipped. They are going by sea. And he is now to go to Zambia. But where to go? The Sai organization there was telling him not to come. And the school where he's supposed to work has cancelled the contract. He has now nothing in London. He doesn't know where to go in Zambia and do what. But even in this, Victor took courage in Bhagwan's words. Never he was allowing any of these to discourage him. He flew from London Gatwick Airport on the night of December 22nd, 1989, and he arrived in Zambia the next day. And he received a few offers to teach in government schools or lecture in government training colleges, but he refused them because he felt if he accepts any of them, then it will mean abandonment of the mission that Bhagwan has given him. There were many attempts that were made to draw him into the social life of Undola by inviting him to be a member of the Lions Club and the Rotary Club and to take charge of the Lions School for the blind. But he rejected all these offers and he said, no, I will start afresh. I will build the school that Swami has asked me and I will introduce human values program in this school the way Bhagwan wants me to. Constantly taking his strength from Bhagwan's words and constantly trying to see how to make good of the situation. Everything around him is happening contrary, but still he's looking for that good, looking for how to make most of the situation. So he found two sites which were probable places where a school could come up. One is in Indola city and the other in Pamodzi township. And so many devotees told him to do the school in Indola city because there is good infrastructure and logistic support there. Pamodzi township had high unemployment and poor infrastructure. It was characterized by low income, poor housing and network, scarce water, inadequate electricity supply, scarce public transport. There were many security risks and so on. And Victor and Genevieve now again were in dilemma. They were thinking where they should buy the land and start the work. And it was at this point that Genevieve went on a special mission to Puttaparthi to ask Bhagwan and seek his guidance. And Swami told her, go to Pamodzi, the place where infrastructure was poor and which was a very difficult place to do anything. No electricity, no water, no security. But Swami told, go there. And to Victor, it felt like typical of Bhagwan to go to the places where no one wants to go. Just like he looked after the villages where no one had provided water. He built a hospital in an area where no one ever thought that a super speciality hospital can be built. Everything that Bhagwan did was a game changer in those places because he went to those areas which had been neglected. And Victor in his heart of hearts felt when the omnipresent, omniscient and omnipotent Lord has told us to build the school and if he has directed us to build it at Pamodzi, that is his choice. It is not our choice. So we don't have to worry. And he said, I will now start the work. And he applied to the Indola City Council for a piece of 14.5 acres, piece of land that he had identified in Pamodzi. And the land was surrounded by low cost and shanty houses whose inhabitants used this piece of land for decades as their garden. And it was not a very fertile land and it was not being used for serious agriculture. So when he wrote to the council had to weigh the advantages of leaving this infertile land for growing stunted crops against giving it to Victor to build the Sathya Sai school. And the council was in favor of Victor. The council being in the favor of Victor gave statutory documents for Victor to proceed. Now, when this happened, some of the local people there, they were unhappy. They didn't want to lose that land, even though it was not being used in any serious cultivation. So many people started creating obstacles by making it very difficult for Victor to put wooden slab fence around that piece of land. Some people had made shortcut roads through that, so they had objections. Now, when the fencing of the land was progressing, Victor noticed that some slabs were being removed. There were people who were stealing and people who were creating so many hurdles. So he employed a guard by name Siami. This person, Siami, had a house few yards away from the fence. Victor wanted him to guard this fence because he had to protect it from miscreants. And Victor realized that Siami was a hunter with a single barrel gun. And having accepted the offer from Victor as a guard, Siami began to patrol the land at night. And after a week, he complained to Victor, saying that there were dogs who were barking and chasing him in the night. So he said, "Can you buy me live ammunition? I can use it in my gun so that I can frighten the dogs if they trouble me in the night." So Victor said, "Okay, I will get you the ammunition." And in the following evening, Victor went to him and gave him a pocket-sized photograph of Bhagwan, and he said, "Use this as your ammunition." And this person, Siami, he laughed, he roared with laughter, and he said, "What? Are you kidding me?" He said, "Are you a joker? What is this? I'm asking for live ammunition which I can use in my gun. You're giving me a photo of a man with bushy hair. What's wrong with you?" But Victor continued to persuade him. For 30 minutes, he told him, "Please accept this photograph and everything will be fine." And Victor says, 3 days later, Siami came to Victor Kanu and said, "Mr. Kanu, the dogs no longer barked and chased me as they used to do. And you know what? The dogs now follow me and they want to play with me. Can you please give me a bigger photograph of this man? This bushy man, he's very interesting." And Victor gave him a beautiful photograph which this man continued to keep in his room. So like this, there are so many miracles that the birth of the first Sai school outside India saw during the early stages of the construction of the school. Every challenge was converted into a blessing by focusing on God, by focusing on the good. The second step after the fence was the molding on concrete blocks. Now this needed abundant supply of water, and that was not available. So Victor employed one man who to dig a borewell. The local borehole driller who used a simple rig with a crude oil piston. They didn't have those big equipments to drill holes. And this man, he used his pendulum, located for possible spots where water could be found, and he marked the places A, B, C, D, and he chose B, and he spent 2 weeks of 7 days of drilling. And he reached a depth of 60 meters. When he reached that depth of 60 meters, he struck water, and the water came up at terrific speed and it continued to flow for 24 hours. And then that is when Victor had found water. And before parking his equipment, this man who had drilled many borewells in that region told Victor Kanu, "Mr. Kanu, I have been sinking borewells for the past 20 years but have never found water in such enormous quantities. It is almost as if I have struck an underground river." And this borewell became fully operational in October 1991. And from then on, there has never been a shortage of water for the school. Not only this, the local Catholic parish priest once visited the site during the laying of the foundation and he asked Victor Kanu, "How did you manage to get this piece of land?" "I have been trying for so many years. I have applied to the local council for the same piece of land, but I was never successful." And Victor said, "Well, it is the will of God. What else can I say?" So this is how Victor went on to build the school in Zambia. When the construction work began, they were faced with unexpected challenge from the Sathya Sai Center of Ndola, who had actually obtained a work permit for Victor to come to Zambia and build the school. But now some members in the Sathya Sai Center were not cooperating with Victor and they wanted complete control of the school, and Victor did not know how he was going to allow that because this was a direction to him from Bhagwan. And it was during this time that Bhagwan came in his dream. In the dream, Swami and Victor were walking on a dusty road. He came from one direction and Bhagwan was coming in the other direction. And when they met, Bhagwan said, "Be careful, you are about to fall." And Victor said, "Swami, if I fall, would you not pick me up?" And Swami said, "Yes, I will." And Swami waved his right hand, produced vibhuti and placed it on Victor Kanu's forehead, and he woke up. And Victor Kanu says, few days after this, there was some disagreement among the center committee members and all that plot to deport Victor back out of Zambia got exposed and everything was cleared. Like this, one after one, as Victor kept his focus on creating the good, Bhagwan's grace was continuously flowing. Scarcity of building materials, transport and communication, exorbitant prices of contractors. There were so many frustrating challenges. Building materials were dispersed in the towns of the Copper Belt province and Lusaka. They were not close by. And he didn't have any vehicle. He had sold all these three Mercedes-Benz cars. So now he purchased a used van. And that was good because you need a vehicle like a van to transport these building materials. But that is all he could do then. He did not want to hire heavy duty lorries. He did not have that kind of resources. Communications was so difficult. No good telephone system, so many times he had to travel long distances just to convey a message. he had to scout around and employ local carpenters, bricklayers, plumbers, electricians. And he was there on the spot all the time, guarding the equipment, seeing that there is no wastage, there is no theft. He personally purchased all the materials, and his wife instructed the architect to draw the school like two separate S symbolizing Satya Sai. So with all these challenges, the Satya Sai school began to come up in Indola. The construction was completed in late 1991, and the doors of the first Satya Sai school outside India were opened to the first grades of both primary and secondary schools on 7th Jan 1992. Victor was the principal. Later on, his wife became the principal when Victor started to focus on the affairs of the Satya Sai organization in Africa. But before the doors were opened, Victor presented to the parents and education officers a statement about the school. And in this school statement, Victor very clearly mentions, the Sri Satya Sai School is an independent private school for boys founded by Sri Satya Sai Baba, who is God incarnate. Unequivocally, Victor writes that for him, for the school, Baba is God. And he says, born on November 23, 1926 in Puttaparthi, a tiny village in South India, Baba has manifested his divinity in a variety of ways as an expression of his immense love for humanity and all creation in general. And he goes on to talk about Bhagwan. He talks about the school, the Satya Sai school in Pamotsi, the first of its kind outside India that Baba has permitted to be built and managed in his name. It is a sacred school firmly rooted in the five basic human values of love, peace, truth, righteousness and non-violence. And he talks about the school's uniforms. He talks about the aims of the school, spiritual and moral excellence, academic excellence, environmental excellence. And he says how in matters of religion, the school is non-denominational. School accepts all religions and all forms of worship. However, the life and teachings and of Satya Sai Baba, as well as his style of management, are the guiding spirit for the school. So he puts all this down, and in the end he says, if this is the kind of school you want your child to attend, or you want to be employed as a teacher, or in any other capacity, then you can join, after giving your details. So that is how the school began. And Victor says, where would the first Sai students of Africa come from? So he discovered that the primary school wing posed no problem, because many children in the compounds and the verandas, they were in dire need of some form of schooling, and it was anyway a place where there were no facilities. So, little children for the primary wing came, but the problem was for the secondary school wing, which started at grade 8. The Zambian requirement for entry into the higher school, the secondary high school, was a pass in the grade 7 national examination with good marks, reinforced by a strict selection process. Now, candidates whose total marks were above the cutoff point were admitted into the government secondary schools. And the candidates could choose any of the government secondary schools. But it was only for those who had good marks. Candidates whose total marks were below the cutoff point, they were rejects. They were doomed because they could not join in any of the government or the private schools, because they were all written off as unfit for education. Now, Victor did not know how to get students for grade 8 because grade 7 examination candidates were required to make their choice of listed government secondary schools before writing the examination. And Satya Sai School was not listed because it was a new school and it was unknown by grade 7 examination candidates. So, Victor, for his grade 8 class, took all those children who were rejects and who were academically weak. And Victor says, during one of their visits to Puttaparthi, when Genevieve told Swami about this, Swami said, I will take and I will change them. And that is what happened. Victor and Genevieve saw only what is good in these children. Swami says in this Sandhya Nivarini chapter 7, can you see? Can you grasp the good and pleasant feelings even in contrary situations? And that is what you see Victor Kanu doing. He took these rejects and he poured so much love into these children that with time, these children got astonishing 100% success rate, 100% pass rate in the nationally held examinations at grade 7, 9 and 12. And that is how the school came to be known as the Satya Sai Miracle School, because what was impossible became possible. The school gained national and international reputation. It was because Victor was able to see the good where others found it difficult. And the school grew from strength to strength, and later they introduced the Cambridge General Certificate of Education Advanced Level. With time, the school grew to such a beautiful extent that Victor had groomed teachers and old students to take over the reins of the school after handling the school and its affairs for 9 years. Victor gave the charge to Sai devotees who were committed to that mission, who were committed to that ideology of seeing only the good. No problem if we have to take all those children who are rejected by every other school. We will take them and we will show to the world these are not zeros, these are heroes. When Bhagwan says, grasp the good and pleasant feelings, that is the true meaning of contrary situations. The life of Victor Kanu plays in my mind. Swami says, do not get into wrong and varied meanings which lead to meaninglessness and ruin your ananda. When people say contrary things, do not subscribe to their view. Do not think of those things which will support their stand. When the Sai devotees from Ndola told Victor, don't come here, he did not subscribe to their view. When people in London said, don't go, he did not subscribe to their view. When the local people said, you cannot build a school here, you cannot take away this land, he did not subscribe to their view. He still tried to see the good in them. He placed his faith in God and he continued, and slowly all these people who were against him now were working with him and create miracles. And in Sandhya Nivarini, Bhagwan is telling us, if we can take this approach, then just like Bhagwan told that African devotee, I am there, I am working through Victor. If we can follow this path, then by His grace, we too can become the conduit of His love. We too can become a channel through which His work will be done. We too will become a flute in His hand, which fills hundreds of hearts with the sweet melody of His values, of His principles, and His love. Dear listeners, in this month of September, I could not but not share with you the story of Victor Kanu. And when I was reading Sandhya Nivarini and reflecting on the life of Victor Kanu, and in this month when he left his mortal coil, I thought this is a story that we should contemplate on. In 1985, Swami had told Victor Kanu, I want you to come again when I take my advent as Premasai Avatar. And if you see, 6 months after Bhagwan left his physical frame, Victor Kanu also merged at his lotus feet, and perhaps Bhagwan in his own way would be using this instrument for the unfoldment of the mission of Premasai. But this happened because Victor was able to take his words with absolute faith, see only the good, and convert everything that came in his life into only goodness. And that is how he created miracles. Let's take inspiration from such an exemplary servitor of the Lord and pray that we too, in some ways, become little instruments to be of service to mankind and to be conduits that will sing His glory. We will continue this satsang in the coming episode. There are few more points in chapter 7 of Sandhya Nivarini. Let us pray that every episode of Vahini Satsang, every time we listen to these beautiful stories, something beautiful happens in our life within, and let this be a change that adds more bliss to our beings. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. If you have any queries or comments or any suggestions, please feel free. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can send your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Grateful to you for being with me through this journey, and of course, beholden to Swami for this opportunity of soaking in His message. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.